The content and opinions expressed during this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers. They are not intended in any way to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent disease.
Welcome to Weight Loss Conversations, brought to you by 3Health Medical Weight Loss Solutions. Your hosts, Bradley Butterfield, Marlene Sexton, and Brandi Wiltermuth, have over 30 years' experience treating health issues associated with excess body weight. Get ready for an in-depth, honest discussion about weight loss and your health. Be sure to visit our website at 3.health. That's T-H-R-E-E.health.
Welcome to Weight Loss Conversations with 3Health. We offer medical and behavioral solutions for weight loss, reversing diabetes, and cardiometabolic disorders. I'm Brad Butterfield, the Executive Director and a psychotherapist with 3Health, and with me today are Brandi Wiltermuth, ARNP and the Medical Director at 3Health.
Good morning.
Hi, Brandi. And Marlene Sexton, psychotherapist and the Director of Therapy at 3Health.
Morning.
Hi, Marlene. And also Alexis Morales, our medical assistant and our operations manager.
Good morning, Brad.
Good morning, Alexis. So this week, actually, we had our one of our support group meetings. It's the second Tuesday of the month.
Mm-hmm.
So we had one last night, and Marlene and Brandi and I were there. It was a good meeting, and we talked about change. We've talked about change before. In fact, Brandi, I think you said it was our first subject in our first radio show that we talked about?
I believe so.
Yeah. It's a big subject. We could probably talk about change almost every week. And so one of the things about change that people have asked me over the years is can change actually take place or happen? I certainly believe that it can. I think it's important to realize that the only person who can make change happen is we can make change for ourselves. I don't think we can change others. Marlene, you have a lot to say about that.
Yeah, we can only change ourselves. It would be nice to be able to change others because I have some good ideas, but it doesn't work that way.
I mean, as therapists, how many times have we had a patient or a client in our office that say things like, if he would only change, it would be so much better.
Or what can I do to make my family change?
Yeah, and we know that that doesn't work.
No. You can influence people to want to make changes, but the bottom line is they have to want to.
Yeah. And
then it's still hard.
It is, and very frustrating.
Yeah. Right? It change is difficult for humans, but it certainly can be done.
So we can concentrate on making our own changes.
Yep.
And so what we do here at 3Health is we come alongside. And with all of our experience, we do help people make their own changes.
Yeah, I think one of the things, too, is that people want a change, but they're not sure exactly what that looks like. And then again, how do I go about doing it? And so, 3Health, we help them clarify what's this going to look like when you consider it successful.
And then, Marlene, I think, and Brandi, I think the other thing that we all realize is change takes time. You have to be patient.
For sustainable change.
Right. Yeah. Especially in the work that we're doing. Mm-hmm. We're in an industry changing our bodies. We're in an industry that often, unfortunately, promotes rapid change or quick change in a commercial way. And we know that that's just not sustainable.
Mm-hmm.
And so when potential patients come and see us, sometimes their expectations is that change is going to happen quickly, even though for many of them it's been many years that it took them to get into the situations that they are with poor health.
Yeah, the diet industry, the commercial diet industry, really confirms for them that change should be fast, 30 pounds in 30 days.
Right.
And sweeping.
Yeah.
Changes fast and sweeping.
Yeah.
Yeah. And people do, look at our culture and New Year's resolutions. From here on out, I'm not eating sugar. I'm going to stop doing whatever. And most studies say that when somebody does a New Year's resolution, that by February, they're not doing it anymore.
It's also great business for January, February, great business for athletic clubs.
Oh, yeah. People, from here on out, I'm going to exercise 5 days a week.
Right.
And so they join a gym, and by February, they're just making the payments and not going.
Right.
At 3Health, we look at change, you know, being licensed mental health counselors and therapists, to look at how to make changes that are sustainable. And it's really small, manageable steps, small goals in between. You know, for somebody to say, I'm never going to eat sugar again, is not going to work.
But, and so it speaks to this almost a standard of perfection, doesn't it?
Yeah,
they have to be
it
perfect
does.
With
the
this.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they blew it. And now they have to start
and when
over.
When they blow it, then quit.
They quit.
Yeah. So, which is really unfortunate.
Yeah. Yeah, and we look at how can you make changes and, you know, have them, they're small, they're manageable, but they add up.
Right.
And over time. Our programs are 2 years for a reason to really get it sustainable.
Yeah, I think if anything, sometimes we have to help people make changes more slowly and implement one piece at a time. Because they have in their mind that they know what they should do because they've done it before. And so they change their eating, start going to the gym, you know, stop hanging out with people that influence them. They do all these things at once. And they're doing a lot of things that are, you know, probably not going to be sustainable long term. So I think some of our challenge is to help people slow that process down and be more thoughtful about the changes that they're making. And I always like to evaluate, was this a change that is going to be something you can sustain? Or is this a temporary kind of behavior that you're only expecting to do until X happens?
Yeah.
So as a therapist and talking about behavior, I have an idea of maybe some of the first things that I want to talk about in starting change. But Brandy, as the clinician, I'll bet you people that are listening to you might say, well, what's one of the first things that you would tell a patient to start with?
Well, the very first thing we have to do is discuss realistic goals.
Okay.
Because if they set out to make changes that are unrealistic, they're certainly going to fail, and that would be a very unhealthy outcome.
Okay.
So we need to define the goals and talk about what those look like and how they're going to be measured. And then I also want people to think about all of the changes that they've made before to lose weight, and think about what worked about those things and what things didn't work.
So
we want to keep some of them.
It's a plan and kind of a self-assessment.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Right.
Maybe even before you start something new?
Well, we always want to assess things before we make changes.
Okay.
So part of what I ask people to do in the very beginning is to just be aware and, you know, get some data. What are they eating? When are they eating it? And how is it affecting their energy and their mood? With that information, then we can formulate a much more complete strategy to helping people then adopt a different lifestyle of eating and changing their relationship with food. But if you don't know where they're coming from, and I think a lot of people want that. They want to just come in and wipe the slate clean and be told this is what you're going to do. And I don't think that, I rarely see that be something that's sustainable because I have a plan for myself. And I can individualize a plan for people over time because I get to know them. And we take into consideration things like their blood glucose and their, you know, work hours and all these different things, their social eating partners and things like that. But it would be pretty presumptive of me to sit down with somebody when I don't know what they're doing at all and say, here, I just want you to follow this and eat that.
Very prescriptive.
Yeah.
Because I've often heard people say to you initially is, just tell me what to do.
Yeah.
They come in, and I've heard that. Brandy, just tell me what to do, and I'll follow it.
Right. Or what is really typical is we'll give them a plan, and then a few visits later, they say, I haven't started at the gym yet. And I say, I didn't know that we talked about starting at the gym yet, so let's maybe hold off on that. And they're kind of surprised that, you know, we're not promoting that right away. And I think that's kind of that old mentality that you have to do all these things.
Right. So you and I had a patient yesterday who I think is delightful. And she's relatively new in our program, and she wears a Fitbit, and she's getting 10,000 steps a day, which I think is incredible.
Yeah,
that's a lot of steps.
That's good.
And she's, like I said, she's new to our program, and she said to me, I feel so guilty because I'm not back or I'm not in the gym. And I said, well, you're getting 10,000 steps a day. And she goes, I just hate going to the gym. And I got a smile on my face, and I said, well, then why would you go? And she was really self-deprecating. She was getting all over herself. And I said, well, if you hate the gym and you're getting 10,000 steps a day, why don't you do something you like?
Yeah.
Instead of forcing yourself to do something that you really hate doing.
And you won't keep doing.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so that's Marlene, I would say that's part of change also is being self-aware and don't make yourself do something you hate doing.
Yeah, that's not sustainable. Yeah. I talk to people a lot about just movement, and rather than exercise has a real definite definition that we got probably from the 50s that Jack LaLanne came along the scene.
I used Jack LaLanne's name yesterday.
Yeah, for younger people, he was like the first exercise guru. But I remember being a little kid, and my mom would say, I've got to do my exercises. So I just defined exercise as an hour with a leader and, you know, doing it every day. And I was a kid, so it didn't really matter to me, but that got in as a definition. And when I got older, I had to do my exercises. So I did Jane Fonda and Kathy Smith, and I hated it. And then realizing exercises, I loved riding bikes with my kids, going on hikes, playing hopscotch, you know, moving, gardening, all of that. And that's much more sustainable. For me.
And she's obviously moving a lot on a daily basis.
Yeah.
And so I asked her, I said, what do you like doing? She said, well, I love taking long walks with my girlfriends. She said, I love hiking. But she said, I hate getting on a treadmill in a static gym. And I said, well, I hate that too. Why would you do that?
Yeah. And because there's the definition, that's what you've got to do. And there's also, you know, you have to do it whether you hate it or not. It's not sustainable if you hate it. It shouldn't be. We shouldn't keep doing things we hate.
Well, you won't, hopefully.
Yeah, you just won't. But people don't then think, well, what do I want to do? What do I like? We also don't, you know, we got so much information about you have to keep your heart rate up and you have to do this for an hour and you have to, you know.
Have to.
Yeah, and so that makes it more difficult to sustain. To say that, you know, and lots of studies show, if you can't do a 30-minute walk, do 3 10-minute walks.
Right.
And people think, yeah, but that's not doing any good. And it is, I mean, you're getting serotonin to start with, which is going to make you feel better. But it also, it does work. We've just been told that it didn't.
Yeah.
I think one of the terms we use around here is don't should on yourself.
Yeah.
So, which is pretty important.
Yeah,
so.
And as you know, in our culture, and especially for some people in some families, there's a lot of I should be doing this, which you'd be doing it if you wanted
liked it.
But when I talk to people about, you know, especially if they have little kids or grandchildren, to be playing with them, like relay races with my grandkids. That's high intensity. What do they call that? High intensity interval training?
Yes.
It's just relay races.
We call that HIIT training. That's
It really is fun. I've got 4 little grandkids, and we run real fast for a short period of time, and it's fun. But when I hear about high intensity interval training and get my heart rate up, I've got an automatic response of, no, I'm not going to do that. Mm-hmm. Climbing trees, playing on swings. It's all, you know, find what you enjoy, gardening, walking, hiking, swimming.
So it is time to take a break. This is Weight Loss Conversations with 3Health. There's lots of things that we're going to talk about regarding change. So we'll be back in just a few moments.
With decades of experience helping patients change their lives, 3Health Weight Loss Solutions can help you too. At 3Health, we provide proven and science-based solutions for realistic, achievable, and sustainable results. We're unique, just like you, and the relationships you have with food and yourself. Find out how we treat obesity, depression, high cholesterol, and more. Just give us a call and change your life today. 425-606-0022. Or visit us online at 3.health. That's THREE.health.
Need help getting started with self-help? You came to the right place. Alternative Talk, 1150.
Welcome back from our break. This is Weight Loss Conversations with 3Health. We've been talking about change. And Brandy, we talked about some of the first things that you talk with our patients about. And I found it really interesting because you talked about awareness. And Marlene and I, on the behavioral side, awareness is one of our first, or our very first curriculum with our patients, talking about awareness. Mm-hmm. And so it's what we do here often at 3Health, both on the clinical and the behavioral side, is we find ourselves coordinating our conversations with our patients, and we do it deliberately, but we also find that it's very natural to be talking medically and behaviorally in the same areas. So Marlene, we do talk about our patients being aware sometimes before we even get into specificity, behavioral specificity.
Yeah, so you can't change anything that you're not aware of.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we do look at, you know, where people often, I mean, because our schedules are busy and we're not a particularly self-aware culture. We're much more tuned into what other people are doing. So sometimes, like, I'll ask somebody, well, when's a dangerous time for you around food? And they're like, I don't really know. So let's be aware of that just for, you know, this week, just kind of monitor that. And they'll come back going, I didn't realize it, but, you know, if I'm stressed or when I get off work before I go home, I always
pretty much all day, every day.
All day, every day. but, you know, to be able to recognize here are some patterns that I have. And then it makes it much easier to interrupt those negative habits.
And so awareness, Brandy, even fits into what we were talking about during the break with some classic stages of change that you were talking about.
Well, and I brought it up because people enter under a program and just the act of doing that, they go through some stages, but we will continue to have to make changes as we go along. So these stages get repeated over and over as we're going through the process. So the first stage is pre-contemplation, and that could be thought of as being unaware of a problem. That's why awareness is such a big deal. But an example of that would be if somebody's listening to our radio show right now and they don't think that they have maybe they are aware that they have a weight problem, but don't really feel like they have a medical issue around that. But then they go for their annual physical, and they find out that there's some, you know, things in their blood work, say their blood sugar is elevated. Well, now they're more aware of an issue, and they may start to contemplate, you know, now I'm aware of this, and what am I going to do about it? Do I want to do anything about it? And then they've moved into more of a contemplation stage.
So their physician might say your A1C is elevated, or
you know, you have fasting blood sugar, your triglycerides are high, all these things that, you know, then the physician may or may not say, you know, if you lost some weight, these things would get better. Then it would be brought to that person's, you know, forefront of thinking that, hey, maybe I need to do something about this. And then they think about whether they want to do it or not. And that's the contemplation stage. So in our program, a lot of times I talk about ketogenic diets with people when they first start. And without a lot of detail, I think I explain that that's a very useful skill and that I like to teach it to people. And a lot of people are either they don't want to do it, or they've tried it before and they think they've done it and they didn't like it. But you can see over time, I can see that they then start kind of wondering more about it. So they've moved from a pre-contemplation stage where maybe they didn't know anything about keto and didn't know it was a possibility to do it in a setting like this, and then into being more curious about it and do I want to do that or not.
Because you've done tremendous work with pre-diabetes and diabetic patients. A number of our patients are in that situation, mm-hmm. and you've worked in that area for a number of years.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, there is no prescription in terms of this is what you have to eat if you're in that category. It's all individualized. But we have to figure out where people are at before they even get going with that.
And you can treat that very successfully with nutrition and diet.
Yeah. The food is the medicine in terms mm-hmm. of regulating blood sugar and how your body uses fuel.
Okay.
So it really speaks to that one size does not fit all. As we do, you know, individual, you know, you'll do an individual plan for somebody. How does their body handle
this? Right, because it's going to be different if somebody mm-hmm. is a you know, long-term diabetic on insulin. Mm-hmm. That's going to be much different than somebody who's just finding out that they are pre-diabetic.
Yeah, and for behavioral, people's lifestyle, we get a real sense of what their lifestyle is and what contributes to a positive lifestyle and what's interfering with that. And it's going to be different for a 25-year-old mother of a toddler mm-hmm. as it is for a 50-year-old professional woman with no children.
Right. So we meet people usually when they're in the contemplation stage.
Yeah.
They're trying to figure out what they're going to do. Mm-hmm. And we try to identify barriers and things like that. Then we get people going and get them in the preparation stage, which is thinking about what's motivating them, understanding their situation, looking at goal setting and realistic goal setting, and collecting a lot of information about the changes that need to be made.
In the realistic goal setting, Brandy and Marlene, is so important because mm-hmm. For some reason, in the last 2 days, including this morning, I've had three female patients who are single, professional, working mothers who have significant management positions and children. And we talk about time management and meeting them where they are, getting up early in the morning, getting their kids off to school, working long days, and then coming home and taking care of the children, feeding their children, you know, getting them to bed at 9 o'clock at night, and then maybe having 2 or 3 hours at mm-hmm. night to themselves to get other household chores, or maybe have a little bit of time to themselves. Frankly, going to bed too late, getting up too early, in fatigue, not getting enough sleep, and then doing that again mm-hmm. 5 days a week, and not putting demands on them or unrealistic demands on them for their goals mm-hmm. and time mm-hmm. that we might do for somebody else that doesn't have a schedule and have those type of responsibilities mm-hmm. and not demanding things of them that are going to be unrealistic.
No, I mean,
and being really empathic to what's going on in their lives right now.
Sometimes we have to consider a realistic goal is not gaining weight.
Right.
And as much as people don't want to hear that, mm-hmm. We have seen many times where people have realized that if they weren't with us and they weren't in our program, not only would they be gaining weight, but their medical conditions would be getting much worse. Mm-hmm. So it's all about, like you said, Brad, meeting people where they are and having realistic expectations about what's going on. But I think that's success.
Yeah. And for two of these three female patients, Brandy, frankly, after some conversation, it was getting back to, are you getting enough sleep?
Mm-hmm.
If they're sleeping 3 or 4 hours a night and doing this continually,
they're not.
We've got to start there because they're in such fatigue and lack of energy. Talking to them about an exercise program is going to be silly.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just mm-hmm. not going to work for them right now.
No. Both, and
we could do a whole program on the benefits of a good night's sleep,
right.
or
and
the...
It,
detriments of a bad night.
And we needed to go back to some real basics. Mm-hmm. It needs to start there, because mm-hmm. if their lack of sleep, lack of energy, we can talk all day long about what they mm-hmm. once again should be doing, but it's showing very little empathy for where they are in their lives right now.
Right.
So that's pretty important.
The Maslow's hierarchy of needs, that those basic things, is where I'll start with a lot of people. You know, are you getting enough water?
It's amazing how many people come in and they say, you know, I just have this vague hunger. I eat something and it's not satisfying, and I try to figure out what it is my body's asking for, so I eat something else. And a lot of times they're going back and forth between salt and sugar. And I say, well, maybe you're dehydrated. Have you tried drinking some water? And there's like a light bulb goes uh-huh. off, and they're like, oh, yeah, I guess that could be what it is. And the reason why I've figured this out is because it happened to me.
Yeah, we're dead like in 3 days if we don't drink water, and it isn't like we keep our health high for those 3 days and then just keel over. The body starts shutting down, changing within hours of being dehydrated,
right.
Getting a dry mouth and then getting a headache, and it starts taking its toll. And people go, well, no, but I drink coffee and mm-hmm. I'm not thirsty. And mm-hmm. I'm like, well, you're dehydrated.
Yeah. So it's getting down to a couple of really basic things: no sleep and dehydrated. Mm-hmm.
And hungry. I mean, sometimes they're skipping, lots of times they're skipping meals or not getting nutrients in the body.
Especially during the workday. Mm-hmm. They're going from early morning until 5 or 6 at night, not really fueling themselves mm-hmm. or eating anything. And then they walk in their house at 6 o'clock. They're picking their kids up and trying to perform in the home, which mm-hmm. is really important to them as caregivers, mm-hmm. and wondering why they're totally depleted.
Yeah.
So it's that really does get back to awareness, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. To seeing what's going on in my life. Mm-hmm. So pretty important.
Yeah.
So we are going to take another break. This is Weight Loss Conversations with 3Health. We'll be back in a few moments.
Introducing 3Health Medical Weight Loss Solutions, a unique weight loss clinic backed by real medical research with a treatment focusing on the entire person, mind, body, and spirit. From medical services for obesity and high blood pressure to behavioral services for emotional eating and depression, 3Health Medical Weight Loss Solutions can help you change your relationship with food, your relationship with yourself, and with life. Find out more, 425-606-0022. Or online at 3.health. That's 3.health.
Exploring new territory every day. This is Alternative Talk 1150.
Welcome back from our break. This is Weight Loss Conversations with 3Health, and we've been talking about change today. Marlene and Brandy, the patients that come in and sign up for our program, the first 3 months, regardless of which program they sign up for with us, are fairly intense to start change. We see people every 2 weeks for the first 3 months. Why don't you talk about why we do that, why that's important?
We do it for a few reasons. One of the reasons that I like having that frequent contact with people is because these concepts are a little bit counter to a lot of the things that they've heard before about how to lose weight. And I've found that if people get some information and then are trying to implement it, if they're not getting more support in terms of how to make those changes and how to change their thinking more regularly, they can sort of veer. So we do small incremental tasks and goals at every visit to keep people on track and to help with sort of the deprogramming of the dieter mentality, which is very strong. And it's hard to do that if people aren't coming in very often, because things keep coming up that try to encourage them back into those old ways of thinking.
Okay, so small steps, more often, keep repeating it so it sinks in. That's the way we're implementing change.
And we can look at, you know, what challenges did you have in the last week, rather than tell me about a month ago.
Or three months. What happened in the last 3 months? There's no way people can keep track of that.
Yes, we want.
And they're in an action phase at that point. They're in that stage where they need to start getting more support. They need to develop a reward system for success.
And non-food reward system.
Of course, we don't want them to use food as the reward. So part of our curriculum is helping people figure out how they're going to acknowledge their accomplishments without using food as a reward. Because that's also part of the dieter mentality is, I went and exercised, so now I can eat the ice cream.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, yeah, and then looking at their support system, sometimes at that point, the support system starts to fail them. Mm-hmm. And we want to know, we want to be able to work with them on that, on how not to be dependent on support and how to find good support. And so we also offer support groups.
So support systems, Marlene, you're talking about maybe the family system or who's in their home with them. Is that what you're speaking
and
about?
Friends, you know,
co-workers
people are going, oh, you've lost enough weight, and maybe they haven't reached their personal goals yet. And somebody could be trying to sabotage them at this point. And, you know, enough. I had a client the other day say that she didn't feel comfortable going out for dinner at a restaurant, and her husband told her, "You're no fun anymore," and that can derail people. Mm-hmm. And so, to be able to process that and talk it through. And
I became no fun a long time ago when it came to food.
It seems odd that if the potatoes make me fun. You know, there's really no connection, but it was she was very concerned about that.
Yeah.
And if we had waited, you know, 2 months to hear that story,
who knows what kind of
things she would have. What kind of damage could be done in the meantime.
Right. So, and then, you know, we want to get people in the action stage, not, I wouldn't say as quickly as possible, but it's easier to maintain that when they're coming more frequently. So we hope by the end of that initial 3 or 6 months where they're seeing us fairly frequently, that they have a really good base, they have their support, and then they can maintain those changes and learn how to have strategies for all of the things that are going to come up and the barriers they're going to see. But they have a really good foundation underneath them at that point, and they know that we are a really good resource, and they know where to find other resources at that point.
Yeah, there are a lot of strategies to learn with sustainable weight loss. They're not that difficult, but there are a lot of them.
Right, and they're not all or nothing.
Yeah, it's not an all or nothing
thing. Well, and the all or nothing, Marlene, in particular, is we don't want patients, when they're starting our programs, to isolate socially. We do want them to go out. So we're giving them strategies both behaviorally and Brandy, with nutrition advice, how they can go out, how they can eat in restaurants. In fact, we did a show a couple of weeks ago about eating out in restaurants. So they can be socially acceptable and go out and enjoy themselves so that significant others, spouses or partners, aren't making statements like that. But then, Marlene, we also talk about one of our curriculum items fairly early on is our boundaries and assertiveness. So we're giving them strategies. We don't want them to isolate, but one of your specialties is boundaries and assertiveness. So there's a middle ground there. Don't isolate, but yet have your own boundaries and assertiveness so you don't have to take some of that stuff also.
Yeah, we live in a food culture, which we've talked about before, and with assertiveness, you know, stating your needs clearly. Assertiveness is just stating your needs without putting anybody else down. So, you know, it isn't being aggressive. A lot of particularly women confuse the two, and they think, well, I don't want to be, you know, mean about this. Well, you don't have to be mean, but you do have to be assertive. People do push food. Mm-hmm. People do tell you things like you're no fun anymore. Mm-hmm. That would be totally on that person, which is a boundary that what they feel isn't my problem.
Right.
And for a lot of us, especially people that are, you know, caretaking and running households and stuff, they do. It is a blurry line of what's mine and what's yours. But yet it does need to be defined, and we have strategies for doing that.
Mm-hmm. And we know to be a caregiver, that takes energy.
Yes.
And if the caregiver doesn't take time to take care of themselves, they don't become or stay good caregivers. They mm-hmm. run out of energy, and they do it in a very perfunctory manner, and eventually they burn out. Mm-hmm. And I know that you've had a lot of conversations with caregivers, and I have also, where you even ask the caregiver, do you think your worth, your self-worth is taking a time out and taking care of yourself? Mm-hmm. And I had a patient the other day that really hesitated when I asked her that question. She wasn't... It put her off a little bit. She wasn't quite sure that she was worth it.
And yeah.
That led
common.
To an interesting conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, and that's part of awareness too. People often is tearful when they realize that they're treating themselves as if they didn't have the value that their friends have or their children have. So, you know, when bringing that up to awareness, and I get a lot of good feedback when, you know, somebody is treating themselves like using self-talk that they would use with their friends. You know, like it's not uncommon to have somebody just put themselves down, you know, well, I'm so lazy, I can't do that, and I'm so stupid, I can't do this. And I'll ask them, is that how you talk to your friends? And they're like, no.
Or would you say that to your children?
Yeah, and they come to realize, because what you say to yourself is very important. Mm-hmm. And then they, you know, and I don't know that we really teach that, that self-talk. I mean, some people, there are a lot of songs and movies out there, especially for women, that if they don't understand their worth, somehow they're better. You know, she doesn't know she's beautiful, and she has no clue how wonderful she is. Like, that's a positive. And I just think, well, that's sad that she doesn't know how wonderful she is.
Yeah. And yet we know, it's almost common sense, we don't practice this, but if you're strong, if you're healthy, if you have energy, how much more effective of a caregiver are you?
Yeah.
And we know it's sort of a silly, or not silly, but it's one that we've used, maybe overused, about the face mask of oxygen dropping on the airplane. Mm-hmm. But you put your oxygen mask on, and then you help those that are around you. Mm-hmm. It doesn't do you any good if you pass out and nobody has an oxygen mask on.
I think it's a Japanese saying, but it's you can't pour from an empty cup.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's excellent. I like that.
Yeah, and it really is true. So we do a session on replenishing the energy that you spend on others, which needs to be done.
And so these concepts for many of our patients are all a big part of change.
Mm-hmm. Another stage is actually relapse.
Yeah, that's a real stage.
Which doesn't get talked about very much, and I think there's negative connotation mm-hmm. to it, but...
It's like a bad word.
Right. We always hear, I would rather have people falter while they're under our care so they can get appropriate mm-hmm. help and advice rather than being out on their own and then having some kind of barrier.
Yeah.
So we don't want relapse to mean quit.
Right.
No.
And once again, that's why our programs are longer, because as we said in the beginning, we're not perfect. Most of us or all of us do relapse. And that's why we work through relapse. And
I would say everybody relapses, because nobody's perfect.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. And that is a concept that I don't think the dieter mentality would even entertain as being some part of success.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we relapse in the dieter mentality, and then it's just another failure that we chalk up like all the other diets.
But here we have to understand that, just like Marlene always says, it's just information. And without having had that experience, we would never know.
Right.
So now we know more.
Yeah, it's all information. There is no failure.
We're better prepared for the future. Yeah.
And we've, with our experience, we've heard most of the relapse stories, haven't we?
I think so. Yeah. No, I'll never say I've heard it all, though.
That's true.
But we do
we've
hear.
We've heard a lot of them so that we can come alongside people and say, okay,
here's some ideas. Oh, good. Now that's out of the way, so we can move on.
But here's some ideas that maybe we can come alongside and help you walk through the, the relapse stage.
It's information. I look at it as a lapse, actually.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So it's... time to take a break. This is Weight Loss Conversations with 3 Health, and we'll be back in a few moments.
With decades of experience helping patients change their lives, 3 Health Weight Loss Solutions can help you too. At 3 Health, we provide proven and science-based solutions for realistic, achievable, and sustainable results. We're unique, just like you, and the relationships you have with food and yourself. Find out how we treat obesity, depression, high cholesterol, and more. Just give us a call and change your life today. 425-606-0022. Or visit us online at 3.health. That's THREE.health.
Talk radio with a purpose. Alternative Talk 1150.
Welcome back to Weight Loss Conversations with 3 Health. We've been talking about change today. This is our final segment, and Alexis, we have an email that we got this week from a patient about change, and I'd like to ask you to read that to us.
Yeah, so we got this email from a woman named Stephanie, and I'd like to point out that on our website, we actually pose a question to the people who send us emails, and she actually answered the question by reiterating it. So I'll read that for you. So the question is, are you ready to change your life? And she says, am I ready to change my life? I sure am. My question is whether your only program option is keto. I love everything else I've read about your clinic, but I have struggled with eating plans that limit certain food groups.
Okay, that's pretty appropriate to our conversation today about change, and that we got that.
I mean, she's reaching out to change, but it doesn't sound like she wants to change very much.
Well, or that she's maybe concerned initially about what we're going to ask her to eat, Brandy. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's some resistance there. But, you know, for her information, what we do is keto is a type of plan, and we do a plan based on your body and your blood tests. So we design that to you individually, specifically. Keto is an option that we can use along the way. But when it comes to the concern about cutting out food groups, usually once we discuss the role of different macronutrients and what they're doing in the body and how they're affecting how your body uses energy or stores energy, it becomes a much different conversation about what am I going to put in my body. So we do meet a lot of resistance in the beginning, especially when people have been out there sort of on their own reaching for some kind of cure in terms of a diet plan and not really understanding what's happening in their body when they eat certain foods. So I never say to anybody, you can't have this. Mm-hmm. What I say is, how are we going to make it fit into the plan and still have you become, you know, successful in terms of your goals?
So a lot of it's education.
Yeah.
And over the years that I've known you, you certainly have taught me a lot. And Marlene, you and I are of a generation of a lot of misinformation.
Oh, tons.
And it's amazing when in the, I've been an athlete most of my life, and it was always, I've talked about this before, it was always carbo-load, carbo-load, mm-hmm. carbo-load for my primary fuel as an athlete. And now I've learned so many other things. Mm-hmm. So, Brandy, a lot of our patients come in with misinformation.
Oh, a lot of people.
And it's not their fault.
No, they come in and they say, I know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that is always, I kind of smile to myself and say, well, this is going to be a fun challenge because I know that I'm going to have to reprogram the understanding mm-hmm. of what food is and what it does. And I like doing that. I think mm-hmm. it's, you know, it's fun and it's challenging. But when people see the results and they feel it for themselves, they don't need more information. They don't need.
What I was going to say is, remember doing that radio show with Susie,
mm-hmm.
and she came in and I'm not giving this up and I'm not giving that up. And then when she started feeling better, she had a lot of inflammation and started feeling better, that all changed.
Right. And with her, you know, the way I approached that was I said, well, you know, most likely the most offending thing that you are eating that's causing inflammation is sugar. Mm. And I don't think that she grasped that at that mm-hmm. moment,
yeah.
but she came to realize that was true for her.
Yeah.
But sugar isn't always obvious to a lot of us. So
right.
a lot of people, until I became knowledgeable, the obvious was cookies, cakes, candies, and ice creams. But as a simple carbohydrate with potatoes, breads, pastas, and other things in the way that sugar metabolizes in our gut, so many people come in and aren't aware of that.
Right, and they're still thinking that they're going to have to reduce their fat intake as much as possible. So
that's that whole grains is good for you.
Well, and it. So think about that. Think about what the rules are when people say they know what to do. It's lean, low fat, whole grain, you know, the least amount of food that you can eat to subsist on, and then you better do some exercise. And
so they're constantly talking about calories, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, low calorie.
Yeah.
Reduce calories, thereby reduce weight.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And we have to flip that on its head and really challenge people to think about, we have to feed the body, we have to feed the muscle what it needs to be able to be productive and active and have energy for life, for your life. And then we have to reduce the amounts of foods that are causing your body to store and retain energy.
So, Brandy, taking that back to what we've been talking about change today, we're finding that our patients, as you say, are coming into our clinic with lots of ideas, preset notions mm-hmm. that they've been told
mm-hmm.
From a number of sources, and it's so counterintuitive to what they're learning in our clinic about the macronutrients. It sort of rocks their world a little bit
mm-hmm.
about what really is making them successful here.
Right. And I think when people come in and they say, I'm not giving up X, Y, and Z, it's because they have done lots of different plans where they've felt deprived. And I never, you know, encourage that. I just say, well, we'll see what happens. If you're going to have it in your life, then you got to have it in your life and lose mm-hmm. weight doing it.
But also what we're finding is with some time, they start to give up some of those preset notions.
To.
Right. They yeah. choose to give up some of those things that they're holding on to pretty tightly when
right.
they walk into the clinic.
Right.
Okay. With success.
Probably more because they don't feel deprived. You know, if they're given some of that freedom, you're allowed to do this. How likely are you to continue doing it if it doesn't make you feel good or if it's affecting your weight loss or your metabolic disorders? But you're allowed to, right? So you might not want to do it because it might have a negative reaction. But if you're restricted from it, you're given that,
sure,
oh, I can't
exactly.
do this, so yeah. I'm going to be bad mm-hmm. and I'm going to do it.
Right.
A lot of people, myself included, become kind of compulsive or obsessive about something we're told not to do. Like I start thinking, well, bet me, I'll show you. And I think about it a lot more. Mm-hmm. If I'm the thing with the individualized plan, too, is that you're basically satiated. So you're not looking for other things. When you feel good, it takes the sting out of not having a sleeve of Oreos.
Right.
What's one of the greatest things that we hear, though, a few weeks in our program with patients? And that's when they look at us and they go, this is so easy. They say, this is so easy. This is,
I'm scared because I'm not feeling deprived. Easy.
I know they go, I don't feel deprived. Why is this so great to follow? I'm being successful and this doesn't hurt and it's not painful.
I think if we had a bigger hallway, people would be doing somersaults.
I love that when they smile and go, why isn't this more difficult?
Or why haven't I heard this before? Yeah. Why haven't somebody told me this before?
Yeah, that's a really cool feeling when a patient gets there. It takes a little bit of time.
It does.
They're not there immediately, but a few weeks in, they're saying that to us.
They just got to dip the big toe in first, and then we ease them in to the deep end.
And that's how change becomes sustainable, is that you're given time to adjust to it.
Right.
Small, manageable steps.
And that they don't have to suffer.
Right.
Yeah. With this.
We don't like suffering.
Okay. So taking, as you said, Brandy, almost at the very beginning of our program today is we don't do everything at once. You kind of take your time with the patient and we implement these things maybe one thing at a time and take our time. It's just not this.
There's no set protocol.
Hit everybody with a million things at once so that it just overwhelms them.
Right.
And so the step-by-step, slower approach is much more successful and actually easier.
Well, it's logical to me that all of these pieces are tools, and we have to try the tool, and we have to figure out how it works for us. And are we going to continue using that tool, or do we need a different tool? Mm-hmm. But if you use all the tools at once, then you think you have to use all the tools all the time, and that's pretty hard to sustain. So it's a safe place to try things out and explore and maybe have a problem or a difficulty that you need help with, and we problem solve around that and have strategies in place and good support.
And then in the meantime, Marlene, you and I are meeting with them behaviorally to deal with what's happening emotionally with them in the midst of this process, and we hear all kinds of things.
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't say it's easy. I think it's the eating plan that we come up with is designed for each person, so it's easier for them to eat that way and lose weight. But it's difficult, I think, to change our relationship with food and then look at our lifestyles and try to change that to meet the goals that we're trying to get for our health. So I wouldn't say that's easy, but the nutrition part, I think, can be very easy.
Well, they're not removed from the stress and or the everyday stressors that they're going to have in their lives. The work stress, relationship stress, those are still going to be there.
Some can actually be diminished or changed as we work with things like assertiveness and boundaries and self-care and all of that. But, yeah, I mean, if you hate your job, you're probably still going to hate your job no matter what the scale says.
Right.
Okay. And Marlene, we talk about dealing with those things, to recognize and deal with them.
Yeah.
So it's time to wrap it up. I love this conversation. We could talk about this many times. So this has been Weight Loss Conversations with 3 Health. We've been talking about change today.
And I have one more announcement for you.
You do?
I do. Right. So we have our support group up and going, and our next support group is going to meet on July 9th from 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. at our Edmonds location, which is right by Swedish Hospital.
And Alexis, July 9th is the second Tuesday of July.
Yes, so they will happen every second Tuesday of every single month, but the location is subject to change. For now, we're hosting it at our Edmonds Clinic.
And you're the contact person for RSVPs.
Yes, please RSVP. You can email me at contactus@3.health.
Okay.
And you don't need to be a patient here. If nope. you're interested in all of this, you're welcome.
If you're on your weight loss plan and you're needing support, we can provide that.
Yeah. Bring a friend.
Okay. So once again, we're so glad that you listened to us today. It's Weight Loss Conversations with 3Health. We will see you again or have you listen to us again next Monday morning at 8 a.m.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Have a good week.
Thanks for listening to Weight Loss Conversations, brought to you by 3Health Medical Weight Loss Solutions. We love hearing from our audience, so be sure to drop us a note. We so appreciate when you tell family and friends about our program. Also, don't forget that our past programs are found at 1150kknw.com. That's 1150kknw.com. Have a wonderful week and tune in next Monday at 8 a.m. That's 8 a.m. Monday. Be sure to visit our website at 3.health. That's T-H-R-E-E.health.
The content and opinions expressed during this program were those of the hosts, guests, and callers. They are not intended in any way to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent disease.